Welcome back. All right, more on the NBA. We are joined right now by a senior NBA writer at Bleacher Report. He is a contributor to NBA TV and NBA Radio. He's the front of the program. Last night was a wild night in the NBA, so I figured it would be all of our best interest to run him down. He happens to be Howard Beck. What's up, Howard? How are you?
Romy, how are you, sir?
Good, good. Howard, how about you?
I'm doing great.
Listen, Kyrie and the Celtics imploded. The Bucks advanced. The Lakers and Ty Lue. The Warriors and the Rockets. Kevin Durant getting hurt. I guess what I'm saying is, how was your Wednesday night?
Yeah, head still spinning a little bit. It feels like this whole postseason has been like this, hasn't it? I mean, ever since the night that, you know, Magic just decided to resign out of the blue, and we all just, like, you know, we're stuck on Twitter the whole night just watching it unfold, and it feels like this is just an extension of that. This whole, the last month or so has just been a wild ride, and I don't even know where to begin with last night. But I think, you know, Durant's injury looms above all of it, right? Because the far-reaching potential effects of that go so far beyond just this series and these playoffs. But, yeah, I mean, that Kyrie flaming out and what that means for the Celtics and where he may go, it just feels like the entire NBA is in a state of flux, and we're still weeks away from even seeing who wins the championship.
Right. Howard Beck joining us. Depending on the severity of Kevin Durant's injury, I mean, if worst-case scenario, that could impact the league over the next 5 years. Best-case scenario, just over the next few weeks. But what about this? Steph Curry had 12 points. Howard in the fourth quarter after KD went down. Is that just a function of somebody needing to step up in that moment, or is that a function of some of the KD isolations going away and Golden State's offensive rhythm coming back?
I mean, listen, it's everything, really, right? Because we know what this team was before Durant arrived. We know this was a team that won a championship, that won 73 games, that was built on the strength of Steph Curry's shooting and playmaking and Klay Thompson's shooting, Draymond Green's playmaking, all of that. And so, it, you know, none of that went away. Steph Curry didn't all of a sudden stop being the guy who won back-to-back MVPs, including one unanimously. He accommodated Kevin Durant willingly. That was the whole plan when they got him. And, you know, I know that at times it has seemed like, you know, people have wondered if Steph Curry was kind of, you know, shrinking within that offense. But you know that that capability is still there. And so, I mean, look, that was desperation last night. That was necessity. That was Steph Curry showing that, you know, when push comes to shove, even with a dislocated finger, even with whatever else may be ailing him, he's still capable of being that guy, and he has to be, and he's going to have to be, you know, at least one more time just to get out of this series. And who knows if we're going to see Kevin Durant again in this postseason.
Howard Beck joining us. You know, you're on this topic, but let me ask you this. Like, when it comes to Durant and the Warriors, there's this school of thought that will start with a sentence that's something like, well, I'm not going to say the Warriors are worse with Durant, but you've heard that. So, like, what do you make of that? Is that just people doing what people do, or is there actually something to that? Is there a discussion?
No, I think it's a completely invalid one, and I understand it. And, it's, you know, look, we're going to, as much time as we spend analyzing these teams and overanalyzing at times, I think that every single theory is going to come out at some point. So if there are people who have lobbed that out there, I get it. But no, listen, they have been stronger for having Durant. They needed somebody who could play in isolation when necessary, right? That's not the Warriors' personality. They're not a team that wants to rely on isolation ball, on individual heroics. They're not a hero ball team. They're a ball and player movement team. And at their best, it's beautiful to watch. But sometimes that gets taken away from you. Sometimes it bogs down. And the Rockets, for the last two springs in a row, have done a good job of taking the Warriors out of that. And that's when you need a release valve like Kevin Durant. Without him, you know, it does put them in a vulnerable position, because as gifted as Curry is, he can create some on his own. But, you know, that's not his strength is not going to be to go break down a defense, and he certainly can't shoot over guys the way that Kevin Durant can. And Durant is a rare, you know, individual in so many respects, but not least of which is that because of his skill set and size, he can get a shot off anywhere. They're going to miss that, period. But if they return to essentially their old personality of just a constant ball and player movement, those backdoor cuts, everything else, they can manufacture offense, and they still do have the best shooting backcourt in NBA history.
We're talking to Howard Beck. All right, then, Howard, go back to the Rockets. It was not an elimination game last night, but given how shaky the Warriors were in the second half and the fact that Durant was out, how much of a missed opportunity was that for Houston?
Oh, I mean, huge, huge missed opportunity. Because, you know, first of all, there's just the basic statistics. We know, you know, tie series at 2-2, the game five winner wins the series, what, 82% of the time, whatever, so there's that. The chance to steal a game there. The chance just to deflate the Warriors at that point, too. I mean, if you think about the 1-2 punch of losing Durant potentially for the rest of the postseason and losing the game, I mean, that just would have been just, you know, devastating. And so it's a huge missed opportunity for the Rockets. But look, they've got a home game coming, knowing that Durant is not playing. And, you know, they're going to feel pretty confident. I have no doubt about that. And, you know, I think it's more likely than not that we're seeing a game seven.
We were talking to Howard Beck. I was going to say, Howard, given the fact that each game in this series has been a two-possession game and KD is out, and you answer this in part, is there any way to predict how this thing's going to play out?
No, and that's fine. Like,
right.
The thing is, like, I don't want to say it's great that Durant is out. It's not. It's terrible for basketball. It's terrible for the NBA. It's terrible for fans. It's terrible for everybody except for, I guess, the Rockets and their fans. But even before he went down, I would say that the beauty of this second round has been that we've had a lot of suspense and mystery just kind of woven into it. You know, it's not surprising the Celtics went down last night, but it is surprising if you go back to the start of the second round, it would have been shocking to think that they were going to go out in five. Like, I thought all four series before the second round began had a chance to go the distance. And we still may see, you know, a couple of these go the distance. And, you know, I'm not about to try to predict where this one is going. The Warriors winning a game six is a huge task on the road, but they can pull it off. They're the kind of team that has, you know, obviously done great things in the postseason and on the road. It wouldn't surprise me if they pulled it off. It won't surprise me if it goes to a game seven. It won't surprise me which way that game seven goes. I mean, I feel like we're helpless when it comes to predictions right now, and that's fine. I'd rather I enjoy the suspense.
I said the same thing, Howard. There's nothing to me. There's no certainty other than game six is tomorrow night and that KD will not go. We'll find out when the ball goes up. All right, so you mentioned the Celtics. Nearly 2 years back, you yourself raised the question, is Kyrie a franchise star? What did you see then that inspired that question, and how much has that answer changed since then?
You know, his years in Cleveland were kind of an interesting mix, Jim, because before LeBron got there, as we know, as great as Kyrie was, and he was young, but they just couldn't win. They couldn't even get anywhere near the playoffs before LeBron arrived. And then during the LeBron years, every time LeBron was out, anytime he missed any stretch of games, Kyrie wasn't enough. Even with Kevin Love there, even with a strong veteran supporting cast, Kyrie had a losing record without LeBron. And there were just certain things about him that, you know, you could see and you could hear just whispers from within the Cavs and around the league about Kyrie's makeup during those Cavs years, that he was moody, that he could be kind of detached, that, you know, if you watched him, you could see he tended to still be kind of ball dominant. He wasn't, you know, a great distributor. He wasn't a great defender, although occasionally he decided to play defense at a high level and you'd say, oh, wow, well, he can do it. Let's, you know, why doesn't he do that more often? So there were just all these kind of caveats that came with him, especially if you wanted to put him in the role of franchise star with all the responsibility and burdens and expectations that come with that. And when the Celtics made that trade, the reason I wrote that column at the time was partially my own impressions, but as you people can see in the column, it was a lot of me talking to people with the Cavs, scouts around the league, other executives who all had some of those same concerns that, yeah, he's incredibly talented, great potential, and maybe he evolves and becomes a better leader, a better defender, a better distributor. But what if he doesn't? And what are the Celtics banking on with this trade? Now, I'm not questioning the trade itself, especially at this point. Obviously, Isaiah Thomas was damaged goods, and, you know, Jay Crowder was a nominal piece, and the pick, instead of being a top three or top five pick, became the eighth pick, and it's Colin Sexton. This is not to say that the trade was suddenly a mistake. On the Celtics side of it, I'm not sure who won that trade ultimately, but what it is to say is that there were doubts and some concerns about Kyrie Irving as a franchise star at the time the Celtics acquired him, And I think those same concerns are certainly prominent right now. And it's all, you know, those are all the things everybody was talking about when they went down last night, and including Grant Hill and NBA TV questioning, you know, whether Kyrie was the right fit and was ready to take on all those responsibilities.
Howard Beck, my guest, senior NBA writer for Bleacher Report. Oh, Howard, I got a question. What the hell is happening with the LA Lakers?
Man, if only I knew, Jim.
The hell with the Lakers?
They are not the Lakers that I covered for 7 years through the Shaq Kobe era. And that was a chaotic, crazy era. But, like, you know, they were winning. And, there was some dysfunction on the court at times. But, you know, the place operated, you know, fairly professionally and smoothly. I don't know what to make of things right now. I'm sitting here at a distance, just looking, and I'm baffled, frankly. It doesn't feel like they've made a single right decision in the last month.
So if you're LeBron James, what are you thinking about this organization, the one that you signed with less than a year ago?
He's got to have doubts, right? I mean, we're not going to hear them anytime soon, if ever, maybe down the road if we ever do hear. But he wanted to be in L.A. And everybody around the league kind of felt this at the time that he chose the Lakers last summer anyway, that this was so much about, you know, lifestyle and the stage of his life that he's at and where his family wanted to be, where he wanted to be. It was about location, and it was about wanting to be part of this storied franchise, sure. But it's not as if he chose the Lakers because they had the best chance to contend immediately, right? Like, that's evident. He could have gone to Philly. He could have gone to Houston. He could have gone to teams that were in contention immediately. And he could have gone to a number of teams that were more stable. I mean, the Lakers have been in a state of flux for a while here. But, I think he just kind of assumed things would, you know, smooth their way out, and that, you know, they'd get on the right track, and that he'd be part of that. And right now, you know, I don't pretend to know what's in LeBron's head, but I can't imagine he's happy seeing the way that things are unfolding.
So, Howard, finally, I got about 90 seconds. Like, Jeannie Buss is really smart. People love her. What do you think she's thinking right now? Why is she surrounding herself with who she has surrounded herself with? And what's her game plan?
Yeah, and I wish I knew the answers to those questions. I've known Jeannie since, you know, early in my NBA writing career. I mean, going back to when I started covering that team. And she's everything you just said. She's really bright, great person, and somebody I've, you know, had plenty of conversations with on and off the record over the years. I have not spoken to her during this span, and I don't suppose she's very available right now to any of us in the media. I am puzzled by the way she and Rob Pelinka have gone about this whole process. And from the moment they lost Magic Johnson, everybody around the league thought the same thing. This is a chance to reset. This is a chance to get a more seasoned, polished front office in charge and go from there. And instead, Rob Pelinka, who's, you know, not had a great track record so far and doesn't have great relations around the league, is the one, you know, moving this thing forward. And they don't have a complete front office. It's, you know, and it's showing in this coaching search.
That's absolutely fair. He is a senior NBA writer at Bleacher Report. He is a contributor to NBA TV and NBA Radio. Also a good friend of the program, Howard Beck. That's how you close the show. Howard, thank you very much. Always good to talk to you. Great job.
You too, Jim. Thanks, man.
Have a great day, Howard. My man used to cover the Lakers for the Daily News back in the day.